Looking to get started in engineering? Well, welcome to Your Guide into Engineering, where we talk about becoming engineers and becoming better people through perseverance and problem solving. We also dive into technical topics typically found in engineering. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm an electrical engineer. Now, if you're thinking I had it all figured out from the start, straight A's, fancy high school courses, or a clear step-by-step path into engineering, I want you to think again. My story into engineering does not start out in a top-ranking high school or a state-of-the-art lab. Now, not that there is anything wrong with that. In fact, I highly encourage you to pursue such opportunities when they present themselves. I would have loved to take on such endeavors early in my life, knowing what I know now, but I didn't. My journey into engineering begins with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of detours, and a whole lot of self-doubt. I dropped out of high school to work and provide for my newborn daughter, as my parents simply didn't have the financial means to take care for my siblings and me, let alone a newborn baby. Eventually, I earned my high school equivalency, known as the GED, and enrolled in community college. After that, I transferred to a four-year university, and along the way, I was working full-time, trying to make ends meet while raising my daughter as a single mom and trying to keep up with academics. Honestly, I fell short in a lot of these areas. I missed homework assignments, I paid bills late, and hardest of all, I wasn't always there for my daughter. Somehow, I made it through, and now I'm living a better life, something I have always envisioned for myself and my family. I want to share what I've learned in hopes to encourage anyone who may be listening. I'm here to say, keep on going. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, no matter where you start or how you get there. In today's episode, we're going to talk about who engineers are. There are a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes about engineers. Engineers are thought as nerdy or geeky, obsessed with Star Wars or Star Trek, introverted, and overall awkward. When I think of how engineers are portrayed in media, my first thought is Howard, the aerospace engineer from The Big Bang Theory. He's uninterested in sports and, quite frankly, has a questionable sense in fashion. Like, no shade to Howard, but those outfits, they're not cutting it. Then there's Tony Stark from the Marvel Universe, a wealthy man with endless resources to fund his fantastical engineering projects. Now, I want to note, there is nothing wrong with Howard's disinterest in sports or his fashion, nor Tony Stark's fantastical projects. There is also nothing wrong with loving Star Wars or Star Trek. There's nothing wrong with being introverted or awkward as well. However, there is something wrong with the idea that engineers are portrayed as simply just all of the above. It is limiting. You don't need to be Howard or Tony Stark to be an engineer. In fact, engineers are simply just ordinary. Now, I also understand ordinary can be labeled as subjective, so I want to clarify what I mean by ordinary. What I mean by ordinary is that anyone, any ordinary everyday person could be an engineer. Now, I consider myself pretty ordinary. I feel ordinary. I am ordinary. I'm just an ordinary person. I can't help but to think of that John Lennon song, "We're Just Ordinary People." We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. I love that song. Okay, let me stop. But we're not here for you guys to listen to me sing. So again, I feel quite ordinary. And I haven't finished the Star Wars movies, let alone get started on Star Trek. I also don't think of myself as a nerd or geek, though, okay, I do sometimes nerd out about things. No shame. And the engineers I've met up until now, they're quite ordinary themselves. I instead like to think of engineer as ordinary people who simply do extraordinary things. When I think of doing something extraordinary, my mind thinks of solving complex problems, thinking outside the box, and overall being unique. If we all thought like Howard or Tony Starks, we wouldn't have the diversity of thought required to solve problems. I can't help but to think about the writing and reading systems discovered independently in multiple regions of the world. Despite differences between these regions and cultures, these systems served the same purpose and solved the same problem, which was conveying information. I can't help but to also think of pyramids, constructed in both ancient Egypt and Mesoamerica. They were built without contact between these cultures. Now, some may seem aliens, but I'm an engineer, and I'm more inclined to say these pyramids were due to engineering and the incredible human capacity, and more on the human capacity in some future episode. But anywho, these cultures faced a shared problem, which was how to build stable structures, and they independently found the optimal solution, which was the pyramid. Now, each version was architecturally unique, but the core engineering challenge was the same. I'll also think about counting systems found in different regions of the world. Today, we use the decimal system or base 10. Counting actually requires a certain algorithm to it, which could be implemented and generalized as follow. We first count from 0 to 9 in the ones place, which is the smallest value place. Second, we increase the count in the next largest value place, which in this case is the 10 place, when we can no longer count in the ones place. And then third, we begin counting in the hundreds when we can no longer count from 0 to 9 in the tens and ones place. So for example, we count from 0 to 9 in the ones place. Once we hit 9, we then realized, okay, we've run out of numbers to count, so let's move to the next value place, in this case, the tens place. We first increase the 10th place to 1, then second, we begin recounting up until 9 in the ones place. So with the tens place set to 1, we count from 0 to 9 in the ones place until we hit the number 19. We again realize, all right, we ran out of numbers to count in the ones place again, so let me again increase the tens place. So in this case, we increase the 10th place from 1 to 2, and then we can begin recounting in the ones place from 0 to 9 again. And I like to think of the tens place as keeping count of the number of times we counted 0 to 9 in the ones place. So, like for example, once we count to the number 30, we can simply look at it as, okay, we have counted from 0 to 9 in the ones place 3 times. We can rinse and repeat this process until we hit the number 99. Once we hit 99, we realize, all right, we ran out of numbers again in both the ones and tens place this time. So we have to increase the next values place, which is the hundreds place. Okay, so then we increase the hundreds place to 1. Second, we start recounting from 0 to 9 in the smallest values place, which in this case is the ones place. So we get 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109. And then again, we realize we hit the number 9 in the ones place. So we have to increase the next value place, the tens place, by 1. So then we get 110. And recount in the ones place again. We rinse and repeat until we count and hit 999, where we can then add another value place and recount the ones, tens, hundreds, and thousands until we hit the number 9999. We rinse and repeat again until we hit 99,999. And this is how we count in decimal. Let me break it to you. Counting in decimal isn't the only way to count. There are many other counting systems, as I mentioned. Some counting systems are ancient. The ancient Sumerians used base 60, and we still count minutes and seconds using base 60. Traditional Chinese systems include base 16, or something we call hexadecimal. I use hexadecimal a lot as an electrical engineer. I also use binary, which is base 2. And binary is used in practically almost any modern electronic system. Modern day computers process information and perform computation in binary. In wireless communication, information is transmitted and received in binary. So in binary, we only use 1 and 0, or zeros and ones. The generalized algorithm I introduced with decimal remains the same in binary. We count the same as before, but instead of counting to 9, we only count up until 1 before moving and increasing the next value place. So let's count to the number 7 in decimal, but represented in binary instead. Remember, once we hit 1, we add a value place. So we count. 0 is 0 in both binary and decimal. And 1 is 1 in both binary and decimal. But at this point, we have run out of numbers to count, so we add a value place to then get that 2 in decimal is 10 in binary, or it looks like 10, but anywho. Then we go back to the lowest value place to recount. We get 11 in binary, which is equal to 3 in decimal. We realize once again, we have run out of numbers, so we add another value place to get 100 in binary is 4 in decimal. Then we go back to the smallest value place to recount, and we get that 101 in binary is equal to 5 in decimal. We run out of numbers in the smallest value place, so we increase the next value place to get 110 in binary is 6 in decimal. To get 7, we go back to the next value place, the smallest value place, to get that 111 in binary is equal to 7 in decimal. Try counting up to 15 in binary. It's a fun little exercise. I want to highlight the best word of advice I have received throughout my time in school for engineering was when I was taking a course in electromagnetic theory. That course was conceptually difficult, and I couldn't have gotten through that course if it wasn't for the advice my professor would always give us, which was that learning is not passive. So I encourage you, highly encourage you, to go out there and count up in binary. Now, back to the point that I'm trying to make. You may be wondering and asking yourself, why does this matter? And what does this have to do with who engineers are? I bring up all these different systems because they were unique solutions to the same problem different regions of the world face. How to quantify and communicate numbers. These different counting systems helped us develop a basis to build the technologies we heavily rely on today. Modern electronics and wireless communication rely heavily on binary and hexadecimal. Imagine if the world only counted in decimal. If every engineer, including Howard and Tony Stark, thought in only one number system, would we have achieved what we have today? I like to think perhaps not. That's the beauty of engineering. Different minds, different solutions, solving the same problem in unique ways. So I'll leave you with the main takeaway from today's episode. To be an engineer, you don't have to be Howard or Tony Stark. You just have to be yourself. Engineering requires unique people with unique perspectives. Again, I consider myself quite ordinary. However, I understand however ordinary I may feel or you may feel, we have to accept the fact our thought process is still unique and can bring the unique perspectives extraordinary requires. I highly encourage you to be nobody but yourself as you navigate through engineering. Thank you for listening. Once again, I'm your host, Ashley, and this is your guide into engineering. See you next time.